If life is like a candle bright, death must be you can close your window tight and it still comes flowing in. So I will climb the highest hill and watch the rising sun, and I pray that I don't feel the chill till I'm too old to die young. Let me watch my children grow to see what they become. Oh Lord, don't let that cold wind blow till I'm too old. Now I have had some dear sweet friends I thought would never die. Now the only thing that's left of them is the teardrops in my eyes. If I could have one wish today and know it, well, I would stay. Everyone could stay till they're too old to die young. Let me watch my children grow to see what they become. Oh Lord, don't let that cold wind blow till I'm too old to
debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
Back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Die, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
There we go. Now we got it. All right. Sorry about the delay there. My goodness. I don't know what happened. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 20th of January, and it's a Wednesday. Sorry we missed out on the first part. I'll go over it again briefly for you here. We had a little sound card problem here, so we got that all fixed. For those of you in Eastern Arizona or Western New Mexico, we have, we've got a guy two guys coming down here from Farmington for this class, and one of them is a concealed weapons class over in Eager, Arizona on the 27th, a week from tonight. Actually, it's an evening class. And then there's another one the following Saturday on the 30th here in Vernon. So New Mexico does recognize Arizona's permit, so if you're a New Mexico resident, or you travel to New Mexico, you don't have to take that $200, $250 class and set 15 hours through training. Not that that's a bad thing, mind you. I'm all for it, actually. But if you're trying for a shortcut, Arizona is recognized by New Mexico. And actually, you can get 34 or 36 states out of New Mexico, Arizona. So it's not a bad permit to have, even if you don't live here. So and then we've got our first class with defense technology or defense techniques down in Buckeye, Arizona, coming up on the 12th and 13th of March, and that is a 2-day defensive handgun class. And we're trying to get our schedule worked up here. We've got a couple more things on it. We're trying to get it shored up here for the next 2 or 3 months so that you can look at it and kind of make some plans ahead of time. We're having a little trouble kind of trying to schedule around some other things. So now, night before last, I believe it was, we talked a little bit about shortening barrels on rifles. I found a pretty good article on 7.62 by 39. And I think it's a little surprising to everyone what we discovered on that. And then, you know, we've got our own experimentation that we did on 308s here a few years ago. So we talked about this. It's been quite a while, but there's been some desire here shown, some interest shown. So we're going to go through it again just because we can. Let me check real quick and see what's going on in the chat room before we get carried away here. Looks like we got a pretty good house here with regulars. Risen 77, Solar Steve, son, where have you been? Good to see you. Glad you made it in here. Katie Brad made it in again. He's been missing in action for a little while. Most of the regulars are in. Looks like we're missing a few of the Washington bunch, but it looks like Yakima Glock is representing them well, so that's okay. We got a handful of anonymous. Ray T, glad to see you in here again. Okay, let's see about this. Back in, I don't know exactly what year they started experimenting with this, but it was pretty commonly accepted back years ago that the longer the barrel, the more accurate it was. And actually, you still hear a whole lot of people say that to this day. And that is so far from the truth. They say it both for handguns and rifles. And with handguns, it's only true because it's easier for you to be more accurate with a longer barrel handgun with a longer sight radius. 4-inch barrel handguns shoot very, very well if you can. It's a little bit harder, takes a little bit more time to make a good aim, take a good aim at longer ranges, smaller targets, stuff like that, but they shoot just fine. They are no less accurate because they have shorter barrels. You lose a little velocity, of course, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. With rifles, it's not the case. And now we look at it now and say, well, how come they didn't know that a long time ago? Well, because it was a long time ago. They didn't. There's a lot of things they didn't know a long time ago. Look at our safety procedures and everything, reloading. So many different things are different now than they were even 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. 20, 30 years ago, there's a huge difference. And one of those things is that everybody, look at some of your snipers and stuff back a long time ago, had 24 and 26 inch barrels, the majority of them. And then they started realizing that, sacrificing a little bit of velocity for better accuracy was a pretty good trade-off. That was a pretty fair exchange. When you hear that the amount of velocity that you lose. So, and the reason it was so hard to get the higher degree of accuracy out of the longer barrels is because of harmonics, barrel harmonics, barrel whip. You've got a lot of movement in that longer barrel, and the thinner the barrel is, the more movement there is to it. And if that barrel touches anything, like a tree or a fence post, something you're aiming, putting it up there to aim and touch that, then it throws it way off. So then we say, okay, great. Now we figured out that heavier barrels are more accurate. So if we have a heavy 24 or 26 inch barrel, then we ought to be able to do really well. And it did help a whole lot. And with a little more experimenting, they find they still have more barrel vibration, even though it's a heavy barrel, in that longer barrel. So if you look at a lot of your pretty much all of your sniper rifles now, your bench rest guns, a lot of them are going to shorter barrels, and the reason being is because it's simply a lot stiffer. You've got a lot less movement, a lot less vibration and whip in that barrel. So the so you lose, depending on the, it varies dramatically per caliber, and it on the average you can say, well, somewhere's around 35, maybe as much as 50 feet per second per inch of barrel that you either add or subtract from the barrel length. And that does vary immensely, though. That's a pretty loose rule. It's been used for years and years and years, but it's not as... it's a pretty loose rule of thumb. When you cut a 26 inch barrel, 24 and 22, whatever it is, down to 20 inches. Now you get to a point where you lose so much velocity that it may not be worth it, depending on what the desired performance of the gun is. If it's if it's an elephant gun, if it's something you really need a lot of penetration and knockdown for, then probably you want to retain some type of balance there between velocity and accuracy. And if it's a gun that you're going to shoot off of a bench primarily, then you can not worry so much about the weight and have a medium there somewhere, 20, 22 inches. 20 inches seems to be pretty much the accepted standard. If you go and look at most of your newer, just go and order a new gun from anywhere out there and look at your shorter, heavier barrels, 20 inches is pretty much standard. And if you, of course, you're reloading, the ammunition that you get for this needs to be tailored a little bit to the barrel too. Back when we were shooting 24 and 26 inch barrels, we could afford to use real slow burning powder, something like 4350 and 760 and stuff like that. and 40 64. I mean, pretty slow stuff because you had plenty of room, plenty of runway in there for all the powder to burn up. Well, when we got these shorter barrels and started bringing those way in, we noticed that there's oodles and gobs of muzzle flash out there, and we've lost a lot of velocity. So you can remedy that. You can fix it a little bit yourself by, if you're a reloader or you know somebody that can load for you, by using a faster burning powder, something that's going to burn up more completely in the barrel before the bullet exits. And this does two things. Number one, you get the optimum, or I should say maximum, maybe not necessarily optimum, but the maximum velocity out of it when all of the powder is burned up inside there. And then trying to keep up with the chat room here and talk about this stuff too. I need to just quit looking at the chat room. The other thing is muzzle flash. I was going to say, you cut way back on the muzzle flash if all of that burns up inside the barrel. Rifling twist, you know, that's not really a big deal for velocity, depending on the weight of the bullet. The weight and length of the bullet is more dependent on a correct twist rate than the accuracy is. I mean, well, they're around the same, but the twist rate would be dependent on, how would I say that? The weight of your bullet is more dependent, the accuracy of a different bullet is dependent on your twist rate, not the velocity. Anyway, so I looked at this, I was looking at this article here on the 7.62x39, and this guy took a heavy stainless steel barrel and threaded it for a Remington 700 action, and he went to all this trouble and only tried two different kinds of ammunition. I would have thought that he probably would have gone to a little bit more trouble here with that if he's going to chop a barrel off to do this, but it was his test, so that's okay. It was still pretty fairly conclusive test. Two very different types of powder. One was a spherical kind of a ball or a flattened ball powder, and the other one was what they call a stick powder or an extruded powder. So we've got, and both of them are hollow point bullets. He didn't have any full metal jackets at the time. So what he found out here is he started out with a 24-inch barrel. And then started lopping it off there an inch at a time. And he got it all the way down to a 16.5-inch barrel, being very careful not to make the feds mad and cutting it close to that 16 inches. So what he found out with this particular caliber, now it's definitely not going to be the same with all of them, but with this caliber, with both types of ammunition, believe it or not, the optimum, the maximum velocity, the highest velocity that was achieved was after he took the first inch off of it. Got him down to 23 inches, and that's where both of the velocities maxed out. Now, he started out, one of them was 2398, and the other one was 2473, the two different types of ammunition. It was Brown Bear and TCW. Some folks say TCW was a Wolf ammunition before the Pretty Wolf boxes came along. I don't know for sure. But there was an honest 50 feet, 56 feet actually, lost with the, or gained, I'm sorry, with the taking the inch off. Now, there's a certain length that you get to where a bullet starts, depending on caliber, depending on the smoothness of the barrel and everything, it gets to a certain place there where you start losing velocity because of the longer barrel. With a 22 long rifle, I believe that length is 22 inches. I'm not sure. But at some point there, obviously you're going to get to a point where it doesn't, the powder pushing behind it is not pushing hard enough to overcome the resistance of the barrel, the interference of the barrel. So right at that point, I think the way I'm reading this article, it seems that that maximum on the 7.6 to a 39 was 23 inches. That extra inch at 24 seemed to slow it down just a tad. Now the guy didn't chamfer the crown the barrel after each shot or anything. He said there was no burrs or anything of any significance that would have slowed the barrel down. So he just made sure there was nothing, no burrs in there, and just let it go at that. And hold on a minute, I got to get all these cords and everything out from under my feet here. There we go, that's better. We'll end up tearing something up here pretty quick. So he get back over here. The next inch, taking it down to 22 inches, took another 50 feet off of it to 24, exactly 50 feet, as a matter of fact, 2404, and it took 10 feet off of the other. Now, let me see which one was the flattened ball powder. I think it was the TCW. Yeah, that was the ball powder. That would be something that would probably be more like 760. What's that other one? 743? What the heck is it? I've used it for years and I can't even think of it right now. But then there's the other one that was the extruded powder. So on the extruded powder, we're seeing an honest 50-foot drop between 23 and 22 inches, and only 30 feet on the TCW, which uses the ball powder. The next inch took 30 feet, 30-something feet off of it, but only 14 feet off of the ball powder. Between 20 and 22 inches, we've got on the extruded powder, on the Brown Bear ammunition, we have 16 feet and 31 feet on the ball powder. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of jumping back and forth here. But ultimately, when we get down to 16 and a half inches, we have 2301 on the extruded powder and 2383 on the ball powder, on the TCW ammunition. And they started out within 75 feet of each other, the TCW being 75 feet faster than the other one. And they ended up being 80, let's see, the TCW is 82 feet faster than the Brown Bear. So, what you got? You going to bed?
I'm going to bed.
Okay.
I'm tired.
Bet. So that gives you now is the loss of that much? We have 97 feet difference in what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.5 inches. 7.5 inches. Let's see what that is. What did I say? 97 feet. 97. Okay, we've got an average of 13 feet, it looks like, difference there. Between I guess that's not entirely fair because there was only a half inch taken off of the last one there. And between that last cut, well, the last three cuts, from 19 to 18 was 11 feet per second. From 18 to 17 was 4, and from 17 to 16 and a half was 3. So on the average, it was 13 feet per second. The shorter you get, the less it takes off, according to this article and this particular gun. So at 97 feet difference, you have gained a couple of things. You've got a rifle that is easier to handle in vehicles and buildings and whatnot. You've only lost 97 feet. It's not really a big deal. And you've probably, by shortening that barrel and stiffening it up a little bit, you've got something that's typically going to wind up being substantially more accurate. I took my old PSS that I had, and the one that I sold to Jason, or traded him for something, I don't remember what it was and how we made the deal, but I sawed it off the same way this guy did. I just took a chop saw to it, and I finally did wind up crowning it and everything, I think, but I just chopped it off and took it right straight out to the range, and took seven, let's see, it was a 26-inch barrel, and I took it down to 19, so I took 7 inches off of it, made it 19 inches. And immediately, right away quick, I realized that that was a very good thing, that I should have done it much sooner. It shot, and I don't have the targets anymore. Well, I think I probably still do. They're in storage. I don't remember what the group size was, but you could tell pretty quick that it was a winner by lopping that barrel off there a little bit. So, yeah, Mountain Shooter 748 is what I was trying to think of a while ago. That's a great powder. It's quite a bit faster than 760. It doesn't work too good for 30-06 and 270 and stuff like that. It would be okay with a short-barreled 30-06 and lighter bullets. But it's a great 223 powder. It's a good 308 powder. It's really good. So, let's see. The Susie B, you've been out having all that fun digging snowmobiles out there. That's well, better you than me, I guess. But anyway, let's see. Let me see what else is going on in the chat room here before I go back. All right. Now let's talk about 308 a little bit in the same manner. We're going to take just a short break here, and we'll be back and talk about this a little bit more. Stay with me.
When I looked up, she was standing there. Pretty long, black, shiny hair. And I heard her say, do you need a little company? But in that old bar, the lights were dim. And I'll bet she didn't notice them. Two old faithful friends. Right here with me, I've got red wine and blue memories and a heartache that won't set me free. I've got lots of time for drinking. Lots more time for thinking. I've got red wine and blue memories. Then she turned and walked away and shook her head as if to say, man, you missed a real good time with me. Just poured another glass, toasted someone from the past, some old but not forgotten memory. I've got red wine, blue memories, and a heartache that won't sit. Me free. I've got lots of time for drinking, lots more time for thinking. I've got red wine and blue
blue memories.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
All right, we're back. Let's talk a little bit about the 308 and some of the velocity loss. There's a company out there called Tactical Operations that did a pretty lengthy experiment on this, and they were doing it because they were developing a type of rifle. I think they called it the Tango 51, I think it was. And see if I can pull that article up here. Anyway, they considered the barrel length of 18 to 20 inches to be optimal for urban environment, with 18 inches being the preferred length. During the course of developing this, they took a 26 inch barrel and cut it down to 18 inches in an inch at a time. And this test was done much more in depth than the 7.62 by 39 was. They shot between 10 and 20 rounds were fired at each inch. They found that the 20 inch barrel that provided for the most complete burn of the powder and no velocity loss when using Federal Match 168 grain boat tail hollow points. This cartridge has kind of gotten to be a standard for law enforcement, and a lot of us have some of that stuff put away for going away presents, you know, later on. But they said going to the 18-inch barrel only resulted in a loss of 32 additional feet per second. So the shorter-barreled rifles, obviously, what are the downsides? You lose a little velocity, but does that really matter? If you try to think about that risk versus reward thing again, handier to carry around, more accurate, lighter, more convenient in every way. I mean, I just can't think of any reason why you'd want that heavier barrel. And people used to fight tooth and nail trying to support that heavy barrel. And they did. They didn't have any trouble with it back in the day because we all thought that. it's only been the last several years that they have come up with this 20-inch barrel thing working so well for us. So, dadgummit, why does this thing keep doing that? Stand by a minute. There we go. According to this company called TacOps, Tactical Operations, there isn't any need to go to the 26-inch barrel unless you want to go to a heavier bullet and push the round to higher velocity using more powder and a slower burning powder. So that kind of takes away from some of the romance there. Actually, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department Special Enforcement Bureau performed tests similar to the ones that was done by Tactical Operations and came up with very similar results. So one of the guys that in the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department here is I don't know anything about the guy, but he's supposed to be a special weapons team long rifle expert, had chronographed the federal match ammunition, 168 grain stuff. He said the muzzle velocity was averaging around between 2660 and 2670 from the 20-inch barrel that was delivered to him by this company. And the accuracy of this rifle, they called the Tango 51, was not hampered by the shorter barrel. They said while at the range with the Tango 51, they were consistently getting sub-quarter-inch groups, sub-quarter MOA at longer ranges. Let's see. So he said, let's see, as mentioned in the article, Tango 51, San Fernando, California PD, Special Response Team, long-range rifle marksman, once fired a three-shot sub-quarter-inch group. As the article appeared, fired three-shot group from the rifle at 700 yards that measured just under 2 inches center to center. The group was witnessed by several credible spotters and was shot off of a bipod with one small sandbag. So I'll have to say that, I don't know why this thing keeps jumping here. Here we go. Under 2 inches, or even 2 inches at 700 yards, is a respectable group. There's no question about it. He said that he'd be the first to admit that an element of luck played a role in this group. He said they certainly aren't typical of what could be realistically expected under actual operational conditions. Still, they show that the rifle is capable of phenomenal accuracy, provided that the operator does his or her part. Well, naturally, if you get out in the field, out in an operation, certainly you're not going to get that kind of accuracy. You don't have the opportunity to wait for the wind and the conditions to change. You may not have the perfect rest. You may have heat waves, mirage, any number of things that you are not able to wait or change or whatever. So certainly it's going to be different. But it says the 20-inch barrel remains very popular with agencies purchasing the Tango 51. Many agencies prefer an 18-inch barrel for the added maneuverability. With the 18-inch barrel, you're still shooting around 2630. So they only lost 30 or 40 feet per second there with that particular type of ammunition. Now, I'll tell you one thing, though, and you notice this also in the 223, any of them, doesn't make any difference. When you start getting down there too short, it becomes unbearable. The noise requires additional, very good hearing protection because it just gets so bad. And that was one of the great things about the, over 22-inch barrels. They were not nearly as noisy. Once you cut it back, once you get below 20 inches, there's a pretty noticeable difference in 20 and 26. But I noticed that the day that I saw that PSS off. Went from 26-inch barrel to 19, and there was a substantial difference. You cut three more inches off of that and get it down to 16, and it's going to be hell trying to suppress that noise. Now, of course, you put a suppressor on it, and you have you cut down on recoil, you cut down on the noise, you cut down on everything but the weight and bulk of it. But said the 20-inch barrel remains very popular. Let's see, still shooting around 26-30. The target isn't going to know the difference if it's hit with a bullet that left the muzzle at 26-60 or 26-30. And that's what I've always told people about the when we're talking about like the 10 millimeter and the 40 and the 9 millimeter and the 38 and all that stuff. When you're looking at 10, 20, 50 feet per second difference, who is in the world is ever going to know? You're the only one that knows, and the only reason that most people try to get that is to satisfy their own egos. They get in these books and they say, oh yeah, I can get this go 3,500 feet a second. And they don't think about the additional wear and tear on the gun. They don't think about the loss of accuracy. There's no benefit to it. There is an exception to that. And that is the, your belted magnums always seem to work better pushed to the max. But any of your standard calibers work quite a bit better if you tone them down just a little bit. And I learned that with my heavy barrel 223 that I had. And I wish I'd have known what I know now when I had that gun. I would have chopped that thing off to probably 20 inches. But it was a long, I'm sure it was 26 inches. I don't know that I ever measured it, but it shot really, really well. I've shot and I've told this story I don't know how many times on here, but my best group with that gun was 136 thousandths of an inch at 100 yards. But I found that if I loaded, I believe it was 21 grains of 4198 in that thing, that it was absolutely attack driver. All kidding aside, it was an amazing shooting gun. I lost about probably 250 feet a second from what I, or 200 anyway, from what I could have had. But when I started playing with that thing and got it slowed down there a little bit, then I realized that I had picked a winner there by slowing that thing way down. So I really wish that I would had that gun back and could shut that thing, chop that thing off down to a 20-inch. I would love to see how that thing would work. Looks like B2 Basic. I don't know if he's unstuck or not, or if she walked to the house to make the show. But at least she's back in where it's warm for now. She's been stuck pretty much all day out there in the snow. You know, we took the took my youngest out to where the bunch of kids from the church were playing in the snow here a while ago. And one of the members here of the church has a construction company. He took a light plant out there and lit up this half. We have these little cinder pits all over around here where they just go find a place out in the mountains. All these mountains around here are made out of volcanic cinders. You see, looks like dirt on top of them. They look like any other mountain, but once you start digging into them, they're not rock. They're volcanic cinders. And so you'll be going out there somewhere, you'll find a cinder pit. It looks like a gravel pit of any other kind. And it's kind of in a bowl shape. So he set this light plant up there, and the kids got out there. And the snow has been melting here close to the house vigorously for the last 3 or 4 days. It has been so warm and nice, unbelievable, which also brings horribly muddy conditions as that snow melts. But you go just 10 miles, yeah, it's a little more than 10 miles, yeah, it's about 10 miles south of here, and get up a little higher, and good grief, there was a lot of snow still out there. There was two-wheel drives, no possible way you're going to get there unless you got chains on, a little weight in the back of the truck. I had to get in four-wheel drive. Still had a little trouble getting out there. So, but the kids had a ball. They stayed out there an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I took some video of it, and they were took their sleds up on top of the hill there and went down into the internal part of the bowl of the cinder pit. So they had a blast. All right, let's see what's going on in the chat room here. Mountain Shooter, that's a fact. Jason's actually got a 20-inch barrel 308 with a suppressor on it. I've got two 20-inch barrel 308s. Both of them are threaded and two different threads, but I don't have a suppressor for either one of them. I might get around to that here one of these days, but I'm not going to worry about it too much right now. Yakima Glock, I know that's right. That most in the gun. If you were using factory ammunition, I can guarantee you that you made nothing but a flamethrower out of that thing. If you're going to, that has some very slow burning powder in it. And if you want to get the optimum performance out of that, you are definitely going to have to reload for that monster. No doubt about it. Let's see here. Let me see what this picture is put up here. Well, that looks just like some of the stuff that's up there on Greens Peak. There's, I don't know what all the stuff is there, but it's not unusual. You see them on top of, you know, half the mountains in the country out there. So, all right, let's see. Let me get back over here. Let me get rid of this picture here and get back to what I was doing. A little sidetracked here. All right. Dang, this thing quits jumping. There we go. All right. They and this is the same reason here for the 300 Win Mag. They decided not to go below 22 inches in their testing for the tactical precision rifle, the Alpha 66. They said that, you know, being the larger capacity case and everything, when you get it down much below that, then you start, for lack of a better term, shooting yourself in the foot here pretty quickly, start losing more velocity than it's worth. So it said that it still, though, got quarter-inch MOA or better, you know, with the right ammunition. And the, I swear I'm going to shoot this computer in just a minute. Says for the heavier bullets and hotter loads with the slower burning powders, they recommend 24 to 26. And we've already covered that. That's exactly if you're going to use the slower burning powders. Obviously, they need more room in there to burn up. Otherwise, what happens is the bullet exits, and as the unburned powder is exiting the barrel, it the ignited powder behind it, the blast catches up with it, and all this burns outside of the barrel, which is what Yakima Glock experienced, cutting that down to whatever it was, 16 or 19 inches, that 7.62 by 54, the most in the gun. So all, you know, a good amount of the powder is burning up outside. You can kind of tell if your powder is too slow or too fast for a given caliber or a given barrel length by how much muzzle blast or a muzzle flash that there is. And to control that, then you need a faster burning powder. You get the faster burning powder, you're going to get faster velocity. Not because faster burning powder is synonymous with faster velocity. It is that way simply because it all burns up behind the bullet before the bullet exits. Now, let's go back to what we talked about a while ago. You can get too long to where the faster burning powder burns up and actually starts to go out, to lose its power, to lose its pressure, because the powder is burned and the bullet's still in the barrel and it's running out of poop. So in order to solve that, you either need a shorter barrel or longer burning, slower burning powder, one or the other. And that's why your 22 or any other gun, when you get out to a certain length, at some point it's going to start slowing it down. whether it's at 23 inches like it was with the, or 24 inches like it was with this 7.62x39, might be 26, 28, whatever it is, but some point out there, all that powder is going to burn up, and the bullet's going to start slowing down because it's not pushing as hard behind it anymore. So you can take that for what it's worth, take it down to the coffee shop with 50 cents and get yourself a cup of coffee, and that's about what it's worth to you. So anyway, tomorrow, yes, I will be on tomorrow night. Amy should be on tomorrow night also. Friday night, there will be no live Liberty Lounge. I apologize for that in advance, but with the missions that we have lined up here, things that have to happen, we're going to be gone for a while. So for those of you that feel inclined and would like to help, then you can either, Mini Men Pen posted the address if you want to send a check and help along with the expenses of this a little bit. It would be greatly appreciated. Or faster, easier way, just go to PayPal. You do not have to have an account there to do that. You can just do it on a credit card or whatever, and use the email address theshootingbench@live.com, and you can donate there and help us out a little bit. This is I'm not even going to get into it right now. I've talked about it enough. All right. All that being said, I'm going to get on out of here, and we'll see you guys tomorrow night, and I appreciate you joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.